Sully often wears those vented button-down fishing shirts, even though he's not fishing.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Where's the applause? I want my applause. Hey, all right. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. That has to be one of our weirder cold open little sounds there, me describing producer Sean Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully's fashion choices there, the vented fishing shirts, even when he's not fishing. That, of course, reminds me that we must get into, if you listened to last week's two episodes, if you didn't, shame the devil, but there's still time to make it right. Go back and listen to those, because the producers behind the glass, the 20-somethings back there, went on a trip, or most of them did at least, got together, booked a trip to Big Bear Mountain about two hours outside of Los Angeles. They retreated up to the mountains for frivolity, I think, is what the purpose of it was, letting their hair down. So we got to get a review of that, because there was some high drama, some high human drama that went down, some wounded feelings and beyond. So we've got to cover all of those. And coming up in just a couple of minutes here, I'm very excited for this. If you're familiar with Barstool Sports, you know Mixtape. Of course, you know, pardon my take, they sit atop the mountain. I think that's fair. You're Spaghetti behind the glass there. You're our resident Barstool guy. I love
sure. The
pardon my take guys and the Mixtape guys, but you know all. You were in on the ground floor.
I was, yes. As a person who went to school in Boston, I was there at the origin, pretty much.
So this is an exciting show
for
you then.
Very. I think these guys, they do such a great job. And obviously, like you mentioned, Part of My Take, who gets a lot of publicity, the number one, you know, sports podcast or podcast overall on the charts, but these guys do a really, really good job, and, you know, they're also hilarious on Twitter. So pretty much everything they do is pretty good content.
All right. If you love them that much, why don't you marry them?
Well, I moved out from the East Coast, Los Angeles, to work with you. So
all right, whatever. Listen, so Coley and Tyler will be along momentarily, and we continue our effort. In fact, really, it's coming to a head now. I talked about it at the end of last week, and it is, yes, all the ham and eggers do their March Madness brackets. Oh, what's our the best movie villain? Yeah, we did that one 15 years ago. Now it's time for April Absurdity, and the category this year is the party in a movie you most wish you could have attended, and we'll go through some of those in just a little bit, but real quick, let's talk a little pigskin, shall we? Pro version. Spaghetti, what do you make of this stuff? I mean, you know, we live in a new world in the NFL. You know, until about 2 years ago, there was no such thing as trades, or they happened once a decade. You remembered what they were because they were so rare. Tony Dorsett going, the rights to Tony Dorsett going from Seattle to Dallas, Herschel Walker going up to Minnesota. Interesting that the Cowboys had a hand in two of those big trades. But yes, now we see more trades, and Adam Schefter, no one less than Adam Schefter is saying he thinks Odell Beckham, he's not the best receiver in the NFL, as people like to say, but he might be the most talented, I guess, and he might be leaving your New York Football Giants, according to Schefter. How say you, Spaghetti?
Yeah, he went on Studio 66 Wall of Famer Ross Tucker's podcast and said that. And when Schefter says that's when you worry, I think I was less worried. I think we talked about it, you know, a few weeks ago when, like, Giants beat writers say stuff. I was just like, okay, well, you know, why would Gettleman go sign Nate Solder? Why would he trade for Alec Ogletree? Why would they want to draft Barkley to make the team better, and then you go move your best player, one of the best players in franchise history, he's only been here for, you know, 4 or 5 years, whatever, and a guy who's 25 years old, to trade him for like two first, an early first round and a late first, or, you know, a couple second round picks. I just don't know what the fascination is with draft picks when you have the proven commodity who's the guy, when healthy, breaks records. He still hasn't committed crimes. Like, he hasn't done like yes, he has these antics.
He went
off
on
the
that
field,
boat though, Spaghetti. That's a crime.
Apparently, yeah.
That's a crime against I don't know what.
Yeah, if you're an NFL player on a yacht,
he had a good time after a victory. He only had 7 days to get right for the next game.
I don't know what's wrong with fans. They overreact to everything. I think people become like prisoner of the moment, and they just get so worked up with like they want the player to do X, Y, Z, but it's his own life. He is not really broken any rules, and I think you've said a lot too. You think he cares so much about the game, like that's why he's passionate on the sidelines, and I agree with you. And if they're going to go forward with Eli as the quarterback and they're going to take Barkley, and then you have Beckham, Ingram, Shepard, you know, if they keep Brandon Marshall, they just signed Solder, like you have pieces there now. It's like, okay, well, maybe if healthy, this is a good team. Trading Beckham, I mean, you're not only, I mean, I think with Beckham, they're worse than the Cowboys and the Eagles. Without Beckham, I would make the case that maybe the Alex Smith Redskins now could be ahead of them. Like, I don't know. I don't know what their plan
really
is.
Well, it's interesting in this way with Beckham. I think we've disproven over the years that in spite of all the serious football men out there declaring what you have to have, you want to win the Lombardi, you better get one of these kind of things. What you don't definitely have to have is one of the 10 best wide receivers in the game. That clearly,
you're right.
That's not a prerequisite to hoisting the Lombardi at the end of
the
season.
No, I mean,
season.
The Eagles just won really without I mean, I don't think Alshon Jeffrey's a top 10 guy, and they won. I mean, the Patriots have done it with...
Well, the Patriots didn't do it, yeah. Notably with Randy Moss, but they did do it with Wes Welker, who I guess you would hold up as one of the better going. But the point is, the counter to that is Odell Beckham is so good and has been so good with the Giants that he's covered up a lot of warts on that otherwise crummy offense. Look at you just look at the raw numbers of Odell in the lineup and out, how bad that offense gets when 13 is on the shelf. Mm-hmm. That's true. But if you're going to trade him, then why would you keep Eli now, or at least do you remake the entire identity of the team? That might make sense. If you sign Solder and you take, I could see them taking even Quentin Nelson if he's that good as a guard, or Saquon Barkley, and now you've redefined what you are as an offense, and maybe that's...
I agree. If you trade Odell Beckham, then you draft a quarterback at two, and then whatever other pick you get, take O-line, take some to build up your team. Don't draft a running back or a skill position because the team's going to stink. Eli needs Beckham to be successful in any, you know, he's turning 38 years old. He's not Drew Brees. He's not Tom Brady at that age. He'll look more like his brother did in his last year with Denver, unfortunately.
Speaking of that, couldn't you see if they drafted Sam Darnold? I could see the Giants saying, all right, you know, now we are in a position to get rid of Eli. I know we said that we wanted him to be our quarterback. I could see them getting rid of that. Either way, MVP behind the glass. How say you? Well, who would you rather have? Because Gronk is also apparently out there. He's even tweeting things that insinuate that he's ready to move. Who would you rather have, Gronk in 2018 or Beckham in 2018?
Beckham. Odell Beckham.
He'll play more games. He's just a healthier – Gronk, as good as he is, and he's one of the best, he's just a little too fragile. Not that, you know, Beckham's been perfect health, but Gronk, I just feel like it's just big frame.
Gronk misses half the games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But now we can charge Beckham with that as well. He missed pretty much last season.
He had a major injury, whereas like Gronk is just constantly banged up, and that's the one thing.
As you know, with back issues, Shaq.
I do know about that. Oh, I've been debilitated, and to the detriment of my poor little children.
Yeah, you could have not played tight end.
Was I even helpful in the Easter egg hunt this weekend? And what was I doing in the Easter egg hunt for as a Jew anyway, you know?
It was that stealing your kids' candy
raises a lot of questions. Raises more questions than it answers. Who do you? But do you buy this thing? I like the receiver business in the NFL is one of these things that whoever you're talking about, people are very cavalier about throwing out best receiver in the game. Except that's said about four different guys. Where does Beckham rank for you?
Well,
Antonio Brown's the best receiver since Randy Moss, at least.
He doesn't – yeah, he's an alien. He's by himself.
He's one.
Yeah, his stats. The thing with – go back to the injury thing, and again, not counting Beckham's injury because it was a major thing. Julio Jones constantly banged up. I know he's like 6'3 and like 225, and he's this, like, you know, Greek god of an athlete, and Beckham's just a smaller, kind of quicker receiver. But Beckham's stats, I mean, what he's done in a short amount of time is incredible.
That's right. That's hard to refute, and everybody swoons for Julio Jones. We talked about that during the season, but I would take Keenan Allen over Julio Jones in terms of production. Well, not just in terms of production. That'd be the receiver I'd rather have on my team. The other thing is, real quick, Josh Rosen, since we're talking about these Giants-related matters, and we talked about that last week too, Jim Moore, his college coach, said he'd rather have Sam Darnold, and he came up with a bunch of rationalizations about Darnold in blue-collar Cleveland, which I poo-poo, like as though only blue-collar towns could like someone who's like Sam Darnold. I think that is a sort of, you know, a vapid narrative to create that certain guys only make it in blue collar towns and vice versa. But what about this latest thing about, basically we talked about it on our most recent episode with Matt Williamson. I encourage you again, Nate demand, in fact, that you go back and listen to that. But we were talking about that. Wait, so now it's a bad thing that Josh Rosen is smart? That's a problem he's a smart guy. He's a book reader.
Yeah.
Bad look, NFL.
Because he asked why about certain drills and certain plays and stuff, and coaches take that the wrong way. That's apparently what they're saying now. Asking questions is a bad thing.
Right. And again, what you said 5 minutes ago, Odell Beckham cares too much. Josh Rosen doesn't care enough. We got to choose. We cannot have both things existing. Because threading the needle between those two things is just too difficult, right?
Yeah, and I think that Rosen, I'm a Rosen guy. I think he would fit great in New York.
Rather have Darnold, though.
No.
You wouldn't?
No. I mean,
really?
My anti-USC bias aside, I think that Rosen, just from watching both, and I've watched them both a lot. I've seen Darnold in person multiple times. I think he's a little too careless with the ball, Darnold. I think Rosen, I just like his, like, moxie confidence that he has. I like his arm strength. I like that he's intelligent and asks questions and will push coaches and teammates. And the one telling thing, too, with him is that every, like, UCLA teammate, like, tweeted support for him. Like, they didn't have to. So if his teammates like him, then I trust the guy. So there's no reason – I don't know why Jim Moore is saying that. I think Rosen has a pretty good sense of humor, too. He tweeted out why.
I know, but people would say – but the answer to your question is that he's just trying to be honest, and that's what you want. He's the head coach, and you don't – an NFL personnel guy's ask you something. He's just trying to tell the truth, and people don't like to hear the truth. I mean, one way or the other, doesn't he have to be more political in his answer than that? If you want to be a head coach, I know he has always aspired to get back to the NFL, Moore Jr. has, but I mean, I don't know what kid would ever sign on. Yeah, I want to go play in your program if you're not going to support me going when I want to elevate the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's a strange move. I think he wants you almost to read between the lines, and it's kind of similar to what happened with, like, Brian Kelly and DeShone Kizer. I know Pete Carroll said something about Mark Sanchez years, but, like, it's just a couple of scenarios where I think either you support your guy or you just really don't say anything.
Yeah, not for the kid's sake, for your own sake.
Right.
You don't disparage one of your players as he's trying to get into the NFL. You got to come up with a better way to spin it than the blue-collar Cleveland's going to like the other guy better. Anyway, I for one, think it would be good to have smart people on my team.
Agreed.
That's my bold statement. All right, let's get to we'll get to the Big Bear stuff. We'll get to April Absurdity in a second. But right now, much to Spaghetti's delight, let's get to it. The Mixtape Boys.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't-don't, Dave.
All right, first up, this is going to be good times, I suspect, at least, unless they let me and you down. It's the fellas from Barstool Mixtape, Coley Mick and Tyler I Am, a.k.a. Coley Mick, or at Coley Mick, and at Trill Withers on Twitter. Fellas, what's the poop? Welcome to the DDFP.
Check. Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it, pal. How you doing?
Well, good. I thanks for talking, Coley, but I really want to hear from the man of the moment, Tyler I Am, a.k.a. the new champion of the internet, right? Is that what it is? What'd you win, Tyler?
Twitter madness. They started a Twitter bracket of 64 Twitter accounts picked at random, I imagine, And I made the cut. I cut down the nets last night.
Exciting, exciting stuff. I'm happy to be speaking with you, you know, while you're still in the glow of victory here. And Coley as well. We're going to get to our own bracket that we have to kibitz about here, our April absurdity. We'll dig in on that in just a minute. Let's talk sports, though, shall we, fellas? I know you guys like to do a little bit of that, too. I want to talk some NBA. But first of all, Coley, to the matter at hand, what about these Gronk rumors? What do you think?
It's not the best. It's also not the worst. Gronk, I don't know. He's the best tight end of all time.
Yes,
he's
true. Arguably, and that's not hyperbole. The best tight end in history.
No, I think he's like top 10 just wide receiver of all time, even if we want to break it down to that. But it would be very Belichickian to get rid of a player before he's truly done. We've seen it with Richard Seymour. We've seen it with Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law. But it would hurt. It would absolutely hurt. I'm not gonna come in here and lie on the Dave Damashek football program. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm just hopeful they can work something out.
Coley, I believe you do know, and I appreciate you abiding by our no jive policy here in Studio 66. Yes, Gronk, to dismiss him, though, he's the one thing. Tom Brady, I feel, is pretty likable. I know a lot of people root against him, but I think that's because of his decade and a half of dominance more than anything personal about him. But Gronk makes the Patriots seem fun. If you get rid of him, then that's the last. You know, Lane Johnson said, there's a podcast that you're aware of, the Pardon My Take Boys, I think, got Lane Johnson to admit that he'd rather win one ring in the fun scene of the Eagles 2017 than however many Gronk has won with the Patriots. Right? You can't get rid of Gronk or else it really will feed that perception that it's a joyless venture playing for the Patriots.
Gronk seems like he's had a lot of fun, even after we've lost Super Bowls. I remember after we lost to the
That's
Giants.
Right. It doesn't even matter if you win or lose, right?
Right. But what about this, Sheck? What if we traded Gronk and then we swap Brandon Cooks in a first-round pick for Odell Beckham? He seems like a guy who likes to have some fun.
Ooh, is that a possibility? Is that what you're – well, listen, I hear now that Adam Schefter says that he predicts – Odell Beckham is going to get traded, and who knows? There were no trades until about 2 years ago in the NFL, and now all of a sudden, all possibilities are available. I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, if the Giants draft not Josh Rosen necessarily, but if they get Sam Darnold, if the Browns don't take Darnold one overall and the Giants do take Darnold, I don't assume that they're beyond trading Eli Manning, because then they're not playing for now. They're building for the future. So why hold on to a late 30s Eli, trade him down to Tom Coughlin? And I don't care what the Jaguars say right now about believing in Blake Bortles. I think they'd love to have Eli Manning right now, right?
This sounds like wishful thinking, so you don't lose a finger.
Look who knows our finger bets. That's exactly right. Thank you, Coley, for that. Tyler, what do you
got paid, though?
Yeah, I know he did, but I also feel like we fans look at this and we say, well, they've just devoted now $20 million. But I always refer back to what the Seahawks did at the front end of the Russell Wilson era. You know, they threw all that money at Matt Flynn, and you thought, well, now they can't start anybody other than Matt Flynn, and he right. never started a single game for them. I think that you can probably do that. And by the way, I think if the Jags don't wind up somehow getting Eli Manning, if Lamar Jackson's there and they take him at 29, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up their 2018 starter over Blake Bortles. I don't buy all the jive about that we believe in Blake Bortles. I think they think if we have to go with him, obviously we went to the AFC title game with him as our quarterback, so obviously there are worse situations to be in, but I don't think they think that Blake Bortles is the best they can possibly do going into this season.
No, that'd be delusional if they thought that.
True enough. All right. What about, though, one more thing, Coley, about the game of pro football, then let's move on to some other stuff. But where do you sit right now? Yes, you have all those rings thanks to Belichick and Brady, but how does it sit with you right now? Because to me, I'm with Malcolm Butler, that had he played that game as he rightly should have, you would have another ring on your finger, and Belichick, his ego or otherwise, cost you that ring.
I'm a huge Malcolm Butler guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he didn't play. I don't buy the he was out late one night, so you have to sit him the whole Super Bowl. I also don't know he was going to shut down the entire, like the Eagles walked down the field the entire game. I don't know if he himself was going
to turn
into
one play. Deion That's Sanders. Why he didn't have to shut it down. The in between is that he makes one or two plays that his replacement didn't make, and that would have been enough for you guys to get the ring.
Maybe he covers Nick Foles there. You never know.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. He could have taken nine out.
I suppose the Eagles just, I mean, that game, I didn't even feel frustrated watching that game. It didn't even feel like a football game almost, just because there was, I think, one punt. It was a very strange night. So I don't know. Hats off to the Eagles, Zach Ertz and the Nick Foles touchdowns. Like when those plays are happening, you just got to tip your cap. There's not much you can do.
I guess. Tyler, I want to talk. Believe me, I know we're focusing on Coley right now, but I happen to be kind of happy as a Steelers fan that the Patriots didn't get over, because if they, you know, as I keep saying, the Steelers work so hard and their legend is owed to those six rings and no one else having them. If one man, one pretty boy alone, Tom Brady, equaled that ring count, it would have diminished the luster of the steel curtain. So I'm happy they didn't get it. But I mean, so you're not cross with Belichick? You don't think that that he maybe cost one for you? Or do you think Al Riveron and company cost you one by the week of the Super Bowl without announcing it properly? They basically, well, Al Riveron did say we changed the catch rule in front of the Super Bowl.
It's a wild move. Yeah, Tyler was real hurt when the Patriots lost, let me tell you.
As a longtime Patriots fan, and also somehow a longtime Eagles fan, it was bittersweet.
Like the catch rule and stuff, I don't know, because it could have easily – we've had plenty of calls go our way over the years. I'm sure Raiders fans would agree.
I haven't heard about that.
It's hard – no, me neither. It never gets brought up.
I don't know what you're getting at here.
But yeah, what was even the first part? Bill Belichick. We've had to pay two first round picks for him. Just him resigning from the Jets. There might have been some backdoor deal there.
Right.
And then with the Spygate stuff. And I've often said every team in the league would be crazy not to trade two first round picks for Bill Belichick. So it's hard for me to, he lost one game and all of a sudden be like, well, what can you do? We got to get rid of this guy. Like I'm thankful for the run he's put us on.
I just think that, you know, I think we all know, including you, Coley, that was a catch in Heinz Field. The trip to the Twin Cities should have run through Heinz Field. I think we all know that. And people keep trying to tell me, hey, you must be happy now that they've changed this rule because it's the Jesse James rule. I'm like, why would I be happy now? It makes me more frustrated. It should have been a catch in the moment. Great. We don't get a ring because they changed the rule after the fact. In fact, now Philadelphia has one, but I guess I have to be happy, like I say, because at least the Patriots didn't get that ring. All right, listen, I want to talk Tyler now. I see you tweeting about it a lot, and I don't know who the guy was who you were tweeting out, but again, Trill Withers on Twitter, and you'll pick this up a few days ago over the weekend. You were tweeting, I think we get very precious about the way we build up things that happened 25 years ago, like Michael Jordan. It's actually, until Tom Brady finally had more Lombardis than Joe Montana, people were very, very, very protective of Joe Montana. Shame the devil that you would call any current player as good as the guy who we already tabbed the GOAT. This is going on now in the NBA. There are people out there who say LeBron James is as good as Michael Jordan, perhaps better, but a lot of people say, shame the devil. He was a god, Michael Jordan, who never lost in the finals. Where do you come down on this 20th century v. 21st century NBA battle?
Oh, I love it because I personally am a big fan of slandering old eras, and I don't know if you saw that Jordan thread where the guy posted, mm-hmm. basically electricians and plumbers were guarding Jordan for a majority.
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Of the 1980s, and I think it's a fair question.
All right, well,
Coley and I talked about yesterday because people bring up like the hand check rule, and it's like, yeah, but it's Hersey Hawkins doing the hand checking. Like I'd still rather that than be guarded by Tony Allen or Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, nice pull. And the other side of that coin is, too, I like the notion that apparently 21st century NBA players are so soft collectively that they wouldn't be able to adapt to the hand check rule. Yeah, but there was the hand check rule. So what would you do? Like, I imagine Kevin Durant would adjust to that if he were forced to play in that era. That's all.
I don't know. Kyrie Irving might just retire altogether. Like, what's he going to do? Stockton's in his grill.
I don't know what to do. Yes. What would happen then? And either way, we'll set on the rules. We'll establish what the rules are if we're going to allow hand checks and beyond. And if you played the 1992 Dream Team versus the 2018 NBA All-Stars, who would win that game? Tyler, start with you.
All-Stars. By double digits.
By double digits. All right, let's figure it out here, Coley. Who would check? The big question to me is, the two big questions that favor the 20th century is, first of all, who checks Magic? A unique point guard, and I don't know exactly that the 2018 All-Stars offer someone who can stop him outside of LeBron.
Yeah,
are we going like best of All-Star, like East Conference and Western Conference?
Yeah, that's what I mean. The 92 Dream Team is basically a collective of the best American players.
Do these have to be Americans from today's game?
No, let's play fast and loose with it. But who are the Euros?
I put Giannis.
Giannis, I guess, would be in the starting five, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
and probably Embiid, because I know you're going to bring up Hakeem.
Well, that's the other thing is, too, is Hakeem is obviously not on the American team in 92, but
right.
That's the difference, too. The 20th century, what it has over 21st century, Shaq notwithstanding, is that they have dominant fives, legit fives. And a guy, I mean, like, what are you going to DeAndre Jordan is going to slow down one of these Hakeem or Patrick Ewing or somebody like that? I doubt it.
Yeah, but again, if we're going by like today's rules, then yeah, they'll give up the post up all day because Steph Curry is just going to rain threes on John Stockton on the other end.
Who would Jordan guard? Okay, so let's get into the other thing because then you guys kind of turned it into this, and I liked maybe this discussion. What is the best Bulls team? Let's say 96, right? Is that what we would agree is the best team with Rodman on it, Ron Harper? So B.J. Armstrong, Hoag Grant, those guys are cast aside in favor of the names I just threw out. The three-headed monster at center and going up against these Golden State Warriors. How do you see that one going, Coley?
Pretty well for the Warriors. I don't know, Durant, you could just play at the center against that lineup. You put, like, Livingston in or Andre Iguodala in the starting lineup, and, yeah, Jordan's getting swept.
I mean, that's the thing. The one thing that's hard to knock Jordan for is it's not like, Tyler, that they were playing bum teams once they got to the finals. Maybe the East wasn't the most rugged. Those Knicks teams were good. They weren't all-time great teams. First of all, Pippen checks Durant, right?
Tries
to,
and
yeah, he does his best,
and then Jordan goes on Steph Curry, right?
Do I want Jordan like running around those screens and stuff, though? Like, that's a lot of energy to expend.
So you're putting him on Clay?
That I think they would try to get cute, like
that kind of makes sense.
Like, put him on like Zaza or something, but once the Warriors go small, that's a wrap.
Yeah, you know what? You're right about that. That is the way Phil Jackson would do it because Harper was a great defender. He would check Steph with Harper and give MJ the lighter task. But, yeah, so I guess he probably would stop Clay, but that wouldn't be enough to defeat – right, so you take Clay away, 23's taking him out of the picture. Rodman eliminates Draymond, right?
I don't know about eliminates, but there'd be a lot of technicals. Like, there'd be no football shit. I'll say it. I'll just say it.
Yeah, he might physically eliminate him, but then he gets tossed. So yeah, if we just want to throw both of them out of the equation.
I feel like either way, this is that there are going to be a lot of curmudgeons who consider us sacrilegious for asserting that any 21st century team could take down the mighty Chicago Bulls of the 90s. Right?
Shame on them.
It's just one team. Yeah, it's just one team can shoot threes at a historic clip. The other team probably attempted 25 throughout the entire season. I don't – threes more than two. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but That would be what it comes down to.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, next up, you asked me to prep a little something here, Coley. I know you guys do on mixtape. You like to rank the Simpsons characters periodically. By the way, I don't want to go a second further here without acknowledging Eddie Spaghetti. This is a big day for him on the DDFP because he likes mixtape better than he likes the DDFP. Is that true, Spaghetti?
Can I plead the fifth?
I mean, you can.
No, I'm a large fan of both Barstool and the DDFP. I moved out to the West Coast on purpose, though.
Did you, Spaghetti, is it fair to say with I know you don't want to denigrate anything over at Barstool, but you say what? Give your rankings of the shows over at Barstool.
Well, I think it's obvious that PMT gets a ton of pub, but I think these two fellows we have on here do a really, really, really great job, and I think people who are hardcore fans of just Barstool know how good they are, and amongst me and my friends, it's always a must listen. So, give you guys a little hat tip there.
I mean, the words were nice. I don't know the passion behind it matched the quality of the words, but still flattering.
No, I'm not going to scream. My words are the truth.
Don't act cool, Spaghetti. You want to go ahead? Tell them how you feel.
I just did. I've been a fan for over a decade. I remember when Coley was an intern in the infamous Dyson fan video years and years and years ago. I mean, I've been following Tyler on Twitter forever. Both the guys are great on Twitter. I mean, I can't say enough good things.
All right, I guess
It's perplexing to me that you can be such a big fan, which I appreciate, by the way, but you can be such a big fan and just hate The Simpsons. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, Eddie.
I don't hate it. It was one of those shows I was on, and I would just be like, oh, I'll watch a minute or two, and then I would just flip and try to find something else. It was never a top show I had to watch.
Based on the Golden State v. Bulls of the 90s conversation, you're not opposed to supporting new stuff. You like Family Guy more than The Simpsons.
But I'm not a humongous Family Guy fan either. I'm not a huge, there's very few animated shows I like. I'm a big Bill Burr fan, so I like F is for Family. I like Nick Kroll, so I think Big Mouth is pretty funny, but they're not like a top comedy for me. It doesn't hold a candle to The Office or something like that.
But The Simpsons, I love the Larry Sanders Show. I love Cheers, but the greatest TV show, period, is The Simpsons.
I mean, that's
period.
That's insane.
It's the funniest show of all time. I mean, if we're gauging it by what's the funniest show ever.
It's not funnier than Seinfeld.
Simply incorrect.
That sentence was funnier than anything that Seinfeld ever produced.
Tyler, what's better, Larry Sand? I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm or Seinfeld?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I agree. That's right. It eliminates the cartoon character, the clown character that is Kramer. And it's a truer, better show.
I think George is better than anyone on both shows. But I also think that Curb, it's weird, almost like there in my head there'd be no Curb without Seinfeld, so I kind of respect it more. I don't know.
Fair.
I just think that it's such a big show in terms of pop culture and like what it means to people who enjoy comedies that it just goes so deep. Like, you have to just love that show more than anything.
All right, you just described.
Sounds like you're describing The Simpsons.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Coley. That's exactly right. It's the best written, it's the funniest show of all time. But the other one that doesn't get enough respect that's a current show is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's going to go down 10 Correct. Years from now. We'll look back and say, you know what? That's one of the five funniest sitcoms in TV history.
I'm with you on that.
Check, I've got some news for you.
Lay it on me.
I hope you're sitting down.
I am.
We talked about it last time. I had never seen an episode, and now I have seen every episode of Game of Thrones.
Nice. That puts you on the right side of history. That's just keeping up with the Joneses. I don't understand people who don't, like, they go through a lifetime of this. Oh, so Game of Thrones starts, what, like 5 years ago? Okay, you're still within a window that you can catch up and have conversations. The show itself hasn't concluded. So now you're ready to keep up with conversations with your coworkers and pals and so on. I don't get these people who for 40 years have dug their heels in on the Star Wars thing. Like, nope, never seen it. Like, all right, who are you depriving? Like, you can't carve out 9 hours of your life so that you can get every reference that people make? It's like not ever seeing Goodfellas or The Godfather. There are going to be times where people reference a horse head in your bed, and your whole life has been like, I never got what that meant. I don't know what that means. What kind of weird position are you willfully putting yourself in? You get what I'm saying? I'm glad you're now on the right side of the history, Tyler.
Check, I've got some bad news. I haven't seen any of those movies yet, man.
Is that true?
Not a one, my friend.
You've never seen a Star Wars?
Never.
So when people talk about the Force and the dark side, you're just like, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know.
Feel like I've seen it. It's like a meme. You see it enough, you kind of get the gist of it.
No, you don't get the gist of anything.
James Earl Jones was the father, yeah?
Yeah, that's it. You got it. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. Yeah, James Earl Jones takes off his mask in the third act of the first Star Wars and reveals himself to be the actual Darth Vader. You got it. Okay, I'm sorry. No, you're right.
I'm all caught up. Yeah.
All right. I have another troubling Star Wars take.
What?
Uh-oh.
The most recent one's the second best one in the series.
Oh, that's a crummy take. That's a terrible one. No,
it's
no.
Not.
The correct it's order not. Goes, let's do the order. The correct one is, I'll debate Empire versus the original.
Empire.
Empire is the better picture, but Star Wars, the first one, deserves credit for creating what could be a ridiculous movie, and within 4 minutes, you're fully engaged. You could be like, wait, there are hundreds of extras, grown-ups dressed in ridiculous costumes, shooting lasers at each other that we can't see, like, meow, 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 that with robots running all around. That should have been laughable, and instead we find it compelling right from the word go. So I love that. Return of the Jedi, a little overrated. The best one, the sleeper one, Rogue One. That's the third. Win, place, show. Empire, win, place, Star Wars, New Hope, whatever you want to call it. And the show, the third place of all the Star Wars movies is Rogue One. What do you think about that?
What was it about this most recent one, the Last Jedi, that truly grinded your gears?
Because Princess Leia suddenly turns into a superhero who can fly through space even though she's dead. She's cast out in – what evidence is there? How many movies have there been, like, this is the 10th one or something like this? Is that right, 10th, 11th one, whatever it is? There has never been a shred of evidence that just because you're imbued with the powers of the Force that suddenly you can fly through space. That she basically turns into Superman, flying through the stars. That was ridiculous.
I don't know. There's a lot of ridiculous things that happened in the previous 10 that I didn't feel that far-fetched to me. I'll say, like, from a cinematography standpoint, it looked weird. But in terms of the canon of the whole series, it didn't seem that out of place.
I mean, she literally even struck the Superman pose with the one fist flying out in front of her body. I didn't care for that either. That movie was the more distance I get from it, the less I regard it. And the other one was only so-so, too. Force Awakens.
That one's
what's
right.
That now, Sully? But people behind the glass. What? Skywalker. Oh, I didn't think that was so bad. I thought it was good to see old Luke back in action. But I will say, yeah, I don't know about what his role was. It seems like he was a little milquetoast in decisive moments. There, he could have taken out Kylo Ren and so. Anyway. I want to get to your list. You wanted me to rank my five non-Simpsons, not related to the Simpsons, characters in the Simpsons, right?
Correct.
You want me to go five down to one? That's the dramatic way to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we built the premise.
Okay.
Yeah, we built the premise that there are so many great side characters. I hope Spaghetti's listening. There are so many great side characters that you could have a different top five every single day and still be correct.
It's kind of true. I want to be cute with, like, Pinchy the Lobster and Grimey. Grimey creates, and by the way, for people who think The Simpsons, the cools will tell you that The Simpsons is only good from about season 2 to roughly season 7 or 8, thereabouts. I think you got to go up to season 13 or 14. Where do you come down on that?
1,000%.
Yes.
I agree.
And Grimey gave us one of the best episodes ever, and the Pinchy the Lobster episode, the last scene in that episode, is perhaps the greatest single scene in the history of The Simpsons, and that's not hyperbole. When Homer eats Pinchy the Lobster, spoiler alert, that might be the best. Pinchy would have wanted it that way.
He grows a 30-pound lobster in a tank. When he's balancing out the salt in the water so it doesn't die in his own home, I mean, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
I'm going to go with, at number five, I'm gonna ignore what I just said there, and I'm going to go with Mo. Okay?
Okay.
Fine choice.
At number four, I'm going to go with the old sea captain. He has some really strong turns along the way when he has the all you can eat restaurant and Homer goes in there and tries to eat all he can eat, and the old sea captain has to tell him, "'Tis no man, 'tis a remorseless eating machine," and Homer complains, "But I didn't get all I could eat." That's a great episode, so I'm going to honor him. Then now we're really getting down to it. I'm going to have to go with Ned Flanders at three, which is tough. A guy who is, for percentage of lines in the show, for how much it made me laugh, Ralph Wiggum, Wiggle Puppy himself.
Yep.
Very efficient.
I mean, how many lines has Ralph Wiggum ever thrown out that didn't make you really gutturally laugh, right?
Zero.
He's hysterical.
I'm drawing blank.
He created an imaginary character.
He's the best FTR I've ever seen.
And that means at number one, I'm going to go with, and I mean, I don't know. I'm not revising my list each week, so this is easy for me to say, but I think the classic is Sideshow Bob.
Wow.
No, you'd reject Sideshow Bob? The WoW seemed unimpressed.
No. Yeah, no, I'm all in on Sideshow Bob. I think Kelsey Grammer crushes it. I especially like when he gets to sing, show off those pipes. But
the Cape Fear episode, Cape Fear top four episode all time, right?
Yeah, I have a top five when the elephant steps on him, when they drive through the cactus field, when he steps on 1,000 rakes. I have Sideshow Bob in my today's top five, but there was no Mr. Burns, who I every time I make this list, Mr. Burns is the only one who makes makes it every single time.
Well, I mean, I guess the point is that, like you say, you got to go watch The Simpsons. Spaghetti, that's your assignment. Tyler, you have to watch at least three Star Wars, and Spaghetti, you have to watch at least two seasons of The Simpsons.
What's just start from the beginning?
No. I just told you. I don't want you watching.
I did enough of The Simpsons. I went to the Universal City. I had the giant pink donut. I got enough.
Oh boy, listen to this.
I don't care for that. I'm sorry you guys had to hear that. That show of disrespect by Spaghetti to all three of us. All right, let's talk about it. Let's cast aside that ugliness and instead focus on the aforementioned April absurdity. Everybody has done their bracket for March. Everybody does their zany, oh, we're not talking about college basketball teams, we're talking about cereals or whatever they do, you know, or soups or whatever. Now
a
it's time. Did you guys do soups?
We're a cereal show. We're a big time cereal show.
Yeah, I know you love your cereals. No, I know, but like Cowherd or whoever about like 8 years ago did the cereals, and that really launched a whole, hundreds if not thousands of people doing their lists, and it's diminished the quality of the notion doing it. But yes, listen, I'm happy to talk cereal, and I think we spent a good half hour on your show debating cereal. So I listen. Check in. Any update to your best residual cereal milks?
I'm trying to think.
Captain Crunch will always be king.
Yeah, I don't. Had I fixed cereal when we had Check on the first time?
Crunch Berries.
Oh, no, you hadn't fixed cereal yet.
I'll say this, Coley. The Crunch Berries make a better residual cereal milk than the original Captain Crunch because the little red berries add a nice little fruity
flavor. Did I say Captain Crunch? I meant Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm not a Captain Crunch guy at all. Toast Crunch.
Yeah, that's that one comes up quite a bit. I also, if you favor a chocolate milk, I think you want to go with Cocoa Pebbles over Cocoa Puffs or Cocoa Krispies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're talking just strictly milk, I think Apple Jack's milk.
There you go. Now you're back in business, Tyler. Now we're cooking again. We've cast aside the Star Wars ugliness, and now we park our cars in the same garage. Okay, April absurdity. Here's what we're doing. We aspired to come up with 32, and then we blew past that, and we tasked the Czech Republic to help us out, and now we're way past 64 movies for this. It is, what party in movie history do you most wish you could attend? Like I say, thanks to everybody on Twitter, we now have a gaggle of them. I think we have like 85, so we got to do some serious work here on cutting this thing down a little bit. I'll start with you, Tyler. The party in a movie you most wish you could attend.
This wasn't too tough for me, again, because I've seen 9 movies my entire life. Mm-hmm. Some of them have parties in them. But the number one for me is House Party.
Like, you know,
it's an iconic dance, an iconic time, and it's still recognized today.
All right. I'm going to include it. And that shows how big my heart is, even though I've never seen the movie House Party. Has anyone behind the glass seen it?
Oh, look at this.
Has anybody seen House Party back there? I don't know the picture. I know who's in it, Kid and Play. In fact, I've seen the one who has the high-rise hair at a gymnasium working out. At the same gym was the guy from Entourage, not the main guy, but the brother, Dylan.
Johnny Drama?
You can tell I work out at a fancy gym. Johnny Drama and the guy with the tall hair from Kid and Play.
They're working out together?
Yeah. No, not together, but they were in there.
I was saying, like, they were doing sets.
Also, the lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls. So you can tell I'm rubbing elbows with the fancy pants. Yeah, that's right. House Party. Okay, that's a good one. I think our number one seeds are, first order of business is to figure out our number one seeds. I think Boogie Nights Pool Party, for obvious reasons, if you've seen the picture. I think that we got to put Bachelor Party. Have you guys seen Bachelor Party, or are you too young for that one? With Tom Hanks, perhaps his funniest picture.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm
no,
not.
I haven't.
Spaghetti?
I haven't seen most of the movies on this list.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm kind of on Tyler's side right now. I'm very, very low movie count.
All right. Next up, I think the one that people keep throwing out to me, Wolf of Wall Street. Which party, though?
Any of that. That was on my list. Any, like, basically any office party that they had.
The beach party?
Yeah.
The beach party. Okay.
Yeah, the beach party, you're right. The
beach okay. Party, so. Beach party. I think that I think that's up there. It's like at worst a 1 or a 2 seed. And then I think I know also a lot of people who have been following this and weighing in on Twitter, they've mistaken the premise of this. It's not just I said party you most wish you could go to, not merely telling me a movie that has a party in it, you know? People are just giving me parties. Like, yeah, listen, I don't care about what the 16-year-old, the parents are away and they got a keg over at the house. Like, Weird Science, to name drop, Corolla threw out Weird Science. And what distinguishes that one from the bulk of the high school parties is that at least some bikers break in. So a biker gang breaks in at about 4 a.m. and holds everybody hostage for 90 minutes. That's a story you would remember for the rest of your life. Like, yeah, it was an awesome party. We were all drunk. Then a biker gang broke down one of the walls and held us at gunpoint. You would love, I mean, in the moment, you wouldn't love that. But for the next months, if not years, you would tell everybody about the night that you were held at a gunpoint by a bald-headed guy with a crooked eye, right?
Yeah, I don't know about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's as
I
saw a lot of people.
Yeah, that was the one I missed.
You missed that one too. All right, I don't know. Animal House's Toga Party, number one seed.
Yeah, that's iconic.
All right, we'll put that one in.
I don't know who wouldn't want to be at that one.
Where do you come down on the? Go ahead, Dan.
I was gonna say I saw a lot of people throwing out "This Is the End," but that seems to be. I think they're missing something there because it's the end of the world party, but they didn't know that when they all arrived. It was just a regular party.
That's right.
Why I have the rooftop gathering / party in Independence Day when everyone knew the world was going to end, because you know some real serious things were going down then.
That's an excellent addition. I like that one quite a bit there, Coley. Add that one to the list, Spaghetti. All right, so I think what we're going to have to do here is we're going to have to cut back on a lot of these high school ones because ultimately, would you really want to be at those parties? Now, the Dazed and Confused Beer Bust, that is a party I would like to go to unironically right now, right? That would be – that's a treat. That's a great party for all of time when they go out into the woods in the middle of the night. But most of these I'm underwhelmed by. But, okay, we've got House Party is Tyler's addition, and I love the Independence Day at the top of whatever that building is in downtown L.A. that gets blown up. Yeah, that this high stakes for that one.
I'm not sure if they count as parties. Like, the Hangover, does that – like, it was a bachelor party. Does that count?
I'm going to count bachelor party, sure. Yeah, bachelor parties. Okay. Yes, another bit of confusion is a lot of people are listing bars for me. And we'll do that at a later date. We'll do best – the bar you most wish you could hang out in a movie is not the same thing as going to a proper shindig, whether it's in that bar or otherwise. For that reason, I am going to count the Stripes when Bill Murray, John Candy, and the rest of the guys go to the mud wrestling party in the bar. Because I think that's a special event for those guys. So I'm going to allow that one. Anyway, all right, last thing for the mixtape boys is I saw one of you guys kibitzing about some food. I forget what made me think of this. But we have to revisit this list since you guys like to kibitz about food too. And we just came off of the Easter holiday, which in my opinion offers a pretty poor collection of treats. What holidays do you think offer the best and the worst treats? We're not talking food. We're not going Thanksgiving. Obviously, that's the grand champion of food overall for a holiday. But give us the treats list. I'm going to start with you, Coley.
So are we going like which holiday is the best or which is the biggest? Like,
go ahead. You can give me an individual item if you want to. Give me your start from item because that will inform the larger category.
Well, it's the Reese's triumvirate of the tree, the pumpkin, and the egg. And someone pointed out to me recently, because it does taste different than a normal Reese's peanut butter cup. Okay. It's a different peanut butter to chocolate ratio, which is why it tastes differently. It's not just the regular cup, since it's a different size. It's a different ratio of peanut butter to chocolate, which gives it a little extra kick.
What does, though? What Reese's is this? What the holiday is this?
I don't know which one to put the top. There's the tree, there's the egg, and then there's the pumpkin. They all the shaped ones.
Oh, I see what you're getting at. Yeah. Right.
Renaissance dessert. I got you.
I see. Yeah, that is interesting. I think right out of the gate, I think the most obvious ones are like apple pie on July 4th. So I don't like fruit in my food. So in the rest of my food, I don't like to mix those two things. So I reject that one. Pecan and pumpkin, though, that's a dynamic duo around Thanksgiving to consider. You got the chocolates on Valentine's Day. You got a fruit cake on Christmas, but then that's more than made up for by the peanut butter blossom with the Hershey's Kiss stuck into the peanut butter cookie kind of thing, right? You know what I'm talking about with that? I think that's underrated. Now, like I say, Easter, which is all about chocolates and all that kind of stuff theoretically, but Peeps are terrible. Peeps are bad,
horrendous.
Right? You're with me on that?
They are absolutely horrendous.
I also frown on milk chocolate over dark chocolate, and there's no dark chocolate. I don't understand the prejudice against the darker version on the Easter holiday.
Hey, the game is filthy, man.
Tyler, your thoughts, your favorite and least favorite desserts or treats around a holiday?
Least favorite Peeps was on my list. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Cadbury egg.
That's another bad one. I'm with you completely. Yeah. There's something gross about those.
Yeah, Easter just doesn't have very good snacks. Best, I would say, are y'all familiar with Chess Bars? I don't know how big they are.
What is it?
I think it's like yellow cake, butter, eggs, and it's kind of like a brownie, but it's made out of like cake mix.
If what you're getting at is the Mo Damashek makes this thing where she takes chocolate, she takes brownies, and then she mixes in cream cheese, and it's like this half chocolate, half vanilla-y kind of looking thing, and it's just divine. I don't know whether that applies to a specific holiday. Is that what you're getting
at? What do you think about that, Coley? I know you love brownies.
Sounds interesting. I might have to overlook it for some other treats on the table if we're out there, though.
St. Patrick's Day has green beer, which seems fun, but it's kind of like a weird thing when you end up letting go of that green beer back into the porcelain. It's disturbing more than it is anything else. Now, I will say that McDonald's has given us the mint shake, and that's something. That's something.
St. Patrick's Day is St. Patrick's Day is a weird one. Us Irish don't really care too much about the flavor of our food. It's just more sustenance and necessity than anything. But where do you fall on black jelly beans? Because I feel like they can really ruin a handful of otherwise perfectly fine jelly beans.
The worst candy, period. Like, not specific candy brand, but the worst of all candies, and this includes Peeps, is black licorice. What kind of treat is that?
Peeps might be worse than black licorice.
It's like a punishment. I don't know. Like it. Here, you were bad. Now you have to eat this whole bag of black licorice. No! Just make me stay inside the house. Don't let me go out for a month. I'll do anything to not have to eat that awful black licorice. Ugh.
You know? Are you a candy corn fan, Sheck?
I'm okay with it. I don't know. A little overrated. I think I'm nostalgic about it. I think it's a – I don't know. What I don't get is people who hate candy corn. That is – it's fine.
I've got some bad news, Sheck.
Well, what's
it's candle wax.
It is. Huh? It's just wax.
Yeah.
It's just candle wax.
I know, but right. So okay. So fine. So it's not that offensive, right? But it's not delicious. But it's also not. It's not an outrage like black licorice is. Right?
I would eat a bag of black licorice before I'd eat like three candy corn. Not even kidding.
You know what's another bad one?
That's a push.
Here's a knock on Christmas for you. Another bad one is. Is candy cane. Candy cane is also gross, and I like peppermint.
Yeah, but at least you can. It's a decoration.
Candy
corn's not a decoration.
Candy corn is absolutely a decoration. It offers the colors of the season.
It's bad. It's actually bad. If you get some candy corn, throw some like wicks in it, and now you get a bunch of candles. Now we're talking.
I wonder.
Do you eat it year round, Chick?
No, I don't. But is that the measure for any of these things? I do. I guess I do eat pecan pie whenever I have an opportunity.
Yeah, the really good things that I eat, I try to keep up with them year round.
Well, that's why a couple of years ago I made my New Year's resolutions, because I'm not selfish like everybody else, aren't just for me. They're for all of society. And that's why I made one a couple of years ago, more stuffing. And I don't know if you've been paying attention, but more and more you'll find at restaurants that they're offering up some stuffing. There are places out there at fast food like, oh, what do you want as your two sides? Now more and more, it's not just macaroni and cheese or three kinds of potatoes. Also, hey, you know what? The special this week is stuffing. Oh, yeah, give me a scoop of that if you please. That stuffing is starting to emerge. I'm with you, Tyler. Yes, delicious foods don't need to be withheld to just one day or one holiday on the calendar. I like where your head's at on that one. You know, here's an underrated one. As a Jew, Hanukkah, why macaroons? MVP, you're a Jew. You know about that, right?
Yeah, I know all about that.
What do you prefer, a macaroon or any Christmas treat?
Christmas treat.
Really?
Yep.
You don't like a macaroon?
I like them, but I like a Christmas. I like a nice sugar cookie. Is that count Italian as a pizzelles. Oh, yeah.
Oh, those count as Christmas? Sugar cookie counts
they
as a
They do to
Christmas?
Me? Yeah, you put the sprinkles on there. If it's shaped like a tree, you know?
I think you're playing fast and loose. Why does Christmas get to claim a sugar cookie?
I think it does.
Christmas needs all the help it can get. Like, they've got fruitcakes, so they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, fruitcakes. Who wants to? As I said, I don't like fruit in my food, so why would I ever want to eat a fruitcake? That's an offense. Yeah. You know, that's another. It makes me think. We should also do, what is the best ethnicity of food? Italian, right? I guess that's why nobody does that list, is because it's so obvious what would be the winner. All right. How long have we gone here now, MVP?
We're about 45 in.
45 minutes in!
Yep. What did you think?
I would have guessed about 23.
Yeah, you would have been wrong.
I would have been just about half. I would have. I'm really having trouble here. All right. Is that enough for you, mixtape boys? Are you done here?
Let me check. We're at your disposal. As many takes as you need,
we
got.
We run all day.
I could go on and on with you. I feel like that we should cut it off here so that there's more meat left on the bone. Eddie Spaghetti, you get the final word here.
I mean, I'd love for these guys to keep coming back on and save stuff. I mean, there's so much to get into. I was just texting my friends to see some stuff that Tyler has tweeted before, some of his better food, his food tweets, because we can't decide which ones we like the most, his basketball tweets, his tweets about women, or his food tweets. So I was trying to find some best of ones and bring up in the conversation.
All right. Yeah, see, we could have done that in front of this show. But you know what? That's fine. Instead, we'll kick it to the next show.
I put, there's 10 topics in the rundown. We had plenty of stuff to go over. That's why I said we could save them from whenever.
We'll... I like that you were so excited for this show that you actually entitled the little rundown that you put together for us here, the DDFP Mixtape Edition. That's what you've
Correct.
Named this show. It's the Mixtape Edition. It's like...
Yeah, I name most of the shows. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize you did.
It helps look at the rundown once in a while.
Now you've gone too far, Spaghetti. All right, you know what? Now I'm embarrassed in front of the mixtape boys. So we'll bid
check.
Them
I got a
day.
Question.
Go ahead.
Do you accept mail-in pies for the pie off?
Oh, it's an interesting question.
Yes. Well, Dan Hansis's mom mailed it in.
Yeah, that's true. But there was a representative on site for that. You know, but yeah, I think we could, you know what?
Spaghetti could be his rep.
I baked my own last year, sweet potato pie with marshmallows, which is my favorite holiday treat.
All right. But if you wish to act as a representative for the mixtape boys sending in a pie, that'd be, I'll embrace that. In fact, I also think we should do one around Memorial Day to sort of like the balance to the pie off. I think we should do some like start of summertime. What would be appropriate there though?
A wiener competition.
A wiener off,
yeah,
you say?
I think we should do a wiener off.
All right, let's work on that. Listen, all manner of meats, of linked meats. Who can produce the best one? All right, I'll do that. I'm in for
Count
that.
Count me in.
Although I wouldn't want homemade ones. That could get sideways quickly. Hey, look, Sully, bro. What is this? Some meats around from the fridge. I don't know that would work out so well. All right, we'll pray on that. In the meantime, again, it's at Coley Mick. It's at Trill Withers. Follow them both. And also, of course, make sure you're listening to Mixtape, one of the great shows over there at Barstool, Best to Big Cat and PFT. Ooh. We got to get PFT on here in front of the NHL playoffs because he has declared for the, I think, the 27th straight year. This is the Caps year. So we have to check in with him before the puck is dropped on that stuff. Meantime, thanks so much, fellas. Great times.
Thank you, Chip.
Thank you,
yeah,
Tyler and Coley. Coley said just before, yes, you can consider yourself now in play as dual candidates for the best non-football playing guest here on the DDFP when the Sheckies are announced round about December 31st, 2018.
Honored.
Can't wait.
All right. There they go. The Mixtape Boys and Muzzle Tub again to Tyler on his championship over the rest of the internet there. And now let's get to the matter at hand. What happened in Big Bear?
Dave Demichek.
All right, get in here, Sully. Let's kibitz about it. Let's talk Big Bear. Let's talk about the big controversy here. Oh, Tamposi's also here behind the glass. Come on in. I want to figure this out. I also got to figure out the April absurdity. The Mixtape Boys, I like the addition of Independence Day. I thought that was a good idea. I think we ultimately, though, need to put these into categories. You know what I'm saying there, Spaghetti? I think we got to, like, the high school parties. Yeah. How many of those high school parties? Yes, I appreciate you reaching out, Czech Republic, and letting me know, like, Can't Hardly Wait had a party in it and stuff. But would you, is that the part of all the movies and party, all the parties and movies you would want to go to?
Right.
And is that the one? Eh.
And I think a lot of these parties on the list, just from what I remember vaguely, is like there's always kind of something bad happening, or is some kind of like kind of there's a little bit of drama. Like, why would you want to go to a movie where, like, a party in a movie where there's something potentially hazardous happening? Like, that to me was a little off.
Like, the worst thing in Animal House is Belushi smashing the guitar. That's the only drama in that first one. I mean, you got a motorcycle going through the hallway, but
because I think you also want to have in when you're going to a party, I always tell people, this is advice somebody gave me when I was probably a sophomore in Bloomington, Indiana, matriculating. A senior told me, don't make the mistake of spending every single night in this same bar. And it was Nick's English Hut for me. And I love Nick's English Hut. Still one of my three favorite bars that I've ever enjoyed drinks in. But yeah, if you spend seven nights a week there, then nothing different's ever going to happen. And really, what you want are singular memories. I talk about this with my kids a lot too. When we're choosing where to go eat dinner, like we go out every Friday night to go eat dinner, and we always talk about we want to find the balance of places where they're like, "Hey, it's you guys again. Great. Are you going to have the same thing?" You want the cheers effect of, hey, I want to go where everybody knows my name. Oh, the regulars. Oh, yeah, the Parmesan. Of course, that's what I'm going to have. But also, you want to have new experiences and find new places, because then those obviously are going to start you off on new adventures and they're going to stand out in your brain a little
bit. It's a balance.
You know?
It's a happy balance.
Now, I don't want to go so far, Spaghetti, like Dirty Dozen. I wouldn't want to be at the Nazi officers party in the bowels of that castle where Jim Brown starts throwing the grenades down the pipes and killing them all. That's too far.
Right. And people are tweeting, like, the Titanic is one. Like, you want to be in a boat that eventually will sink in the Atlantic.
No, now you're being too literal.
Jack!
No, that's...
I didn't say you have to be...
I just assume you're part of the movie.
You know Titanic? Seen it, Chuck?
I'd like to be at the park. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on the boat. I wouldn't have to stay on the boat. I didn't say I have to stay on the boat forever. But that party when I'm not talking about the upper crust party at the top floor. I'm talking about the one where the employees and they break out the keg.
Oh, Billy Madison, third grade pool party.
They start dancing around to and fro. That's a party.
How
man.
We brought that one up? Billy passed the third grade.
It's on here.
I know that. How have we not brought that up yet? That's a great ad.
Sully, the producer of Move the Sticks. I encourage you, Nate, demand that you go and listen to that. And seated to your left, Spaghetti, now joining us in Studio 66. Her virgin run here on the DDFP, I believe, producer extraordinaire. And you see the videos we put out these days, she generally has a hand in creating those for us. It's Erica Tamposi. What's the poop with you, Tamposi?
Hello.
Any thoughts before we talk about what you guys did up in Big Bear over the weekend? Any thoughts that you wish to impart on our April absurdity as we're putting this together? And Spaghetti, what are we going to do? How are we going to put this out now? We're going to put out a proper bracket of 64.
I think it's up to us to kind of cut out the extra, like the dead weight of movies we don't really agree with, and then
let's set a deadline on that.
Okay.
High noon Wednesday.
Sure.
Of this week, we put out our tournament of 64.
And you want to see that in our four regions.
Yeah, like I say, I think we should try to categorize so that they eliminate each other. They feed on each other. All the high school parties should knock each other out as much as possible.
So like high school, parties, college, apocalyptic situations.
Maybe something like that. Maybe okay. Parties that happen outside, you know. But we did get a lot of good ones. Somebody see like one I would have not thought of. Straight Out of Compton, Eazy-E's party. That was a good party. That's a good one. Tamposi, your thoughts?
No, I mean, there's a lot of, like, younger movies that, like, when I was growing up, like, the high school movies were pretty cool.
Pie.
Yeah, American Pie. Project X.
I think Project
really
X
cool.
is my pick for number one overall seed.
I think it's a movie I haven't even seen.
It's the best part. Yeah. The whole movie is a party, and it's the whole neighborhood.
It's pretty great.
Or even, like, Neighbors with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron, who's a personal fave of mine. I think that's, like, a fun party kind of – they were just crazy.
Yeah, but then, here's the
is it iconic? No.
Well, but then there's like, I think the movie is wildly overrated, and I really resent the people of a certain age who think that PCU is like, hey, it's this generation's Animal House. Like, well, if that's true, then I feel bad for your generation. That's a terrible picture, and Jeremy Piven mugging for the camera for 90 minutes is not enjoyable. However, they hold the fundraiser at the end of the picture, and Parliament shows up. P-Funk shows up. George Clinton plays the shindig. All right, that's a party
P-Funk's
I'd like to
pretty
be
good.
At. Yeah.
I love P-Funk.
At your college building?
That's
That'd
a nice
awesome.
Kid.
See, that's a good addition.
There you go.
I'd also like to be in King Louis' palace when he's singing in Jungle Book.
Like we said last week, though, it has to be the animated version because he gets a little too angry in the live-action one.
Yeah, but still, to be a monkey at that party. You know, to be a monkey on
oh,
the wall
be great.
With that one.
And they sing great tunes. No, yeah. No, I agree. The animated one's great.
Emma VP really was keen on from Mean Girls. It's her favorite movie of all time because she loves Tina Fey so much. And oddly, almost inexplicably, Tina Fey has made very few good feature movies.
Right, but she gave us 30 Rock and Mean Girls, so we should thank her for a lifetime.
All right, I love
Kimmy Schmidt. Yeah.
That's all we need to add, just those two.
She writes Kimmy? She doesn't write Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, she's
she
an
does.
Executive producer and wrote the...
She writes... She's the she's the showrunner of Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah, the co-exec producer with Robert Carlock.
That is pretty impressive.
I didn't know about that. I love Kimmy Schmidt. Yes, I'm with you, but isn't it... I'm just saying that
yeah,
it's strange
right.
that she hasn't made great movies. Mm-hmm. She's the generation's greatest talent, or in the top three, I would think.
Easily.
So you would think she would have more strong mm-hmm. features on
That's
the
fair.
Resume. But anyhow, you wanted Mean Girls... Aaron Samuels' Halloween Bash. So
yeah,
we
I just
put
thought
it on.
We should put it on there.
But, I mean, I'm with you.
This is a pretty loose list, Chuck.
I honor you by putting it on there, but then at the same time, I have to reject it, too. I mean, I'm not rejecting it. It's making the list. Fine. But if it wins, shame the devil.
What about
win?
The party in House Bunny with Anna Faris where she always, like, says people's names? She's like, Harmony. You know, and then that big, like, the virgin sacrifice party.
Check your gal, Kat McPhee's in that film.
Yeah, Catherine
McPhee. Oh, yeah.
In which
your
one?
New pally.
House Bunny.
House Bunny with
your
Kat
co-star.
McPhee.
Yeah.
And Anna Faris.
My scene work with Kat McPhee was a lot of fun, but, I mean, it comes without a safety net. If you want to, I just want you guys to know, if you ever decide that you want to get into the craft, I'm happy to work with you, do some scene work with you, go over your sides and all of that. But just know that if you're in a scene with Damashek, or I think I can speak for my friend Kat as well, we operate without a safety net. You know, we're fearless. That's what you have to get into the darkest parts of who you are and tap into that and let it out. And I mean, that takes guts.
It does. I'm proud of you. That was,
anyway,
that was, that
I,
was
here, here I am going on again about my acting again. I know that's over all your heads. I'm sorry for that detour. All right, let's talk about – so we'll have the bracket for you midweek. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook and all that, and we'll get that out to you so you can start your voting. All right, now, it's all been prelude to this. You guys went off to Big Bear. Everybody here, Eddie Spaghetti, Emma VP – your two significant others. I met Eddie Spaghetti's significant other the other a couple of nights ago. A delight.
She's louder than the both of us, and that's saying something.
She's assertive.
Yes.
You know? I like that. She's assertive.
She's awesome, though, but my goodness, she put you to shame on the decibel level.
It is hilarious. I know, like, three of the loudest people on planet Earth.
Two of them are right here.
Two of them are right here. And
Sully is the other one.
Yeah, well,
my brother in loudness. All right, so
yeah, man,
I like
yeah.
that. We got that going for ourselves. Yes, I. Now let's start here. So you retreated up to Big Bear. You booked a big house. Spaghetti brought a bunch of his pals, not just his girlfriend, but also some of his pals. Like I say, Emma brought her fiance. Sully went alone because
That's right.
he wanted to see what might turn up on the hills.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And then Tamposi, you and your friend,
mm-hmm.
who is a woman who...
Ains. Yeah.
How did that go? Sully, let's start there. Did you?
Oh, she was great. Great
yeah.
time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Romance?
No romance.
They're not going to be a date? You didn't say like, hey,
oh,
you and I should...
I wouldn't wipe that off the table.
I would.
Yeah, you would.
Okay. Yeah, I would. I would.
That's not gonna happen.
No.
All right.
Why
let's
not?
Wipe it off the table.
Why not,
then?
I don't know.
No love connection.
We're gonna have to get Ains on the phone here at some point.
But you feel that you feel confident that you can speak on her behalf and say no interest in Sully.
That's fine.
I think her heart is somewhere else.
Did she admire his fashion choice to wear the vented fishing shirts, even though he wasn't fishing?
You wore a vented shirt on Sunday, I think, but pretty Saturday neat. He was in like a T-shirt and like a backwards hat. So
no, yeah, Saturday was a Tennessee versus Florida 1996 game, a long sleeve shirt. The shirt is almost as old as me.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I don't know why that wouldn't work, but I know that is certainly something I would try to do to impress a lady. Wear a T-shirt from.
I mean, I was also shirtless.
From 20 years
I was
ago.
Also shirtless for about three quarters of this trip, so that might have played into it.
What's wrong with this Ains? Sully's running around shirtless now. What did you guys make, Tamposi? I'll start with you. I don't know if you because you were the boots on the ground there. What did you make mid weekend? Spaghetti sharing with the world on Facebook an image of himself in a hot tub. Beer in one hand, his bikini-clad girlfriend in the other. How did that strike you?
Your picture that you posted?
Yeah.
You know,
he was showing off,
and he was trying to look. No, he was trying to look cool.
Why did you do that? What was the point of that?
I'm glad you asked me. There is 100% a point for that because if I don't, sometimes as a person with a girlfriend, you have to show affection for them and like not like show off, but like be like proud that you're dating them. Be like, oh, you know, I am with my girlfriend. And if I do that, then I'm off the hook for a while. I don't get annoyed or bothered. Like, oh, no pictures with me, nothing about me. So me, Sully, and my girlfriend were the first three there, and we got in the. It was sunny out, nice.
Went straight to the hot tub.
Went straight to the hot tub. Put on some tunes.
Actually, we did go straight to the hot tub. But.
And Sully was kind enough to take a few pictures. And I said, I'll post this now. It's Friday afternoon, and I don't have to think about it. You know, the rest of the trip there, and I will enjoy my time in Big Bear, and not you know hear some flack from you know the old ball and chain. So that's exactly the reason why I posted it.
He got his duties out of the way within the first 10 minutes of being in that
and
in
Sully
that
wouldn't
environment.
Go the entire weekend and be like, oh, Jada, you look so damn hot in your bikini.
He's very complimentary. No, it's fine.
She asked
Is that
it's fine.
True?
It's fine.
She asked me.
It's all.
Sully, you tell Spaghetti's girlfriend
she asked me, how'd I look? I had to pick which one was better. I said, you look hot in that one.
Yeah, that's the truth. And he did my job for me. Great friend.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. How does that hit your ear there, Emma VP?
Good for Sully. And good for Jada for asking.
If you, I mean, you're asking Sully, I'm going to give you no jive. I'm going to give it straight shooting to you.
Hey, darling, you look all right.
Yeah, pretty much.
You may look almost as good as I do in my vented fishing shirt.
Yep.
Emma VP, how was your time?
It was grand.
Yeah. Now, did you decide, because you're probably the one with the propensity to feel guilty about something, leaving someone behind. And Kent Brown, of course, was left behind. Your peer here, our colleague at the NFL, he didn't make the journey. Mm-hmm. Did you at any point think we should reach out to Kent and see how he's doing?
I thought that would be kind of mean, like if we're actually on the trip saying, like, hey, how's it going? Not on the trip.
I see.
Yeah.
And everyone agreed with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a unanimous decision, I think.
Okay. Tamposi, Spaghetti. I don't know if you heard Tamposi. Spaghetti likes to award an MVP for his road
very
trips.
Very aware.
And his LVP. Who do you think? Was there an announcement made? Was there a ceremony at the conclusion of the trip in Big Bear? Or is this going to be a reveal for the participants of the trip?
No, we didn't put anything on. Did we? We did a funny video.
No, I'm saying, do you guys know the MVP?
We know.
Yes, 100%.
We got together.
Yeah. We know.
Oh, so this was a group decision.
Well, yeah. Us.
Us three.
The four of us.
All right. Let's start with the less interesting one then. MVP.
MVP. We're probably gonna give it to Sully.
Yeah, I think Sully gets it.
And
because why?
Because
just
he was
partier.
Always in a good mood. There was a lot of like
upbeat.
Definitely. Don't want to like do it again because like he's just like he's
once
like
is enough. Yeah, like I say, like, singular experience, great. Keep
right,
it a singular
right.
experience.
No, he's like I'd do it again.
Yeah,
but like
100%
it's like
I'd do
one
it
minute he's like
Ains wouldn't do it. Again.
No, definitely not.
No,
definitely
no,
not.
No, no, no,
definitely
no.
Not.
I don't know if she can
absolutely
hang.
Absolutely not.
No, she could hang. She could hang. Mm. But you know, 1 minute Sully's
if like, she's with people that pass muster, which Sully does not.
No.
Yeah, apparently, well, yeah. Nope. We just party too hard.
Yeah. No, oops. No. It's we're all good. But, you know, 1 minute Sully's like banging on his chest with like ping pong tables and it's like really intense. And then the next he's like passed out in the hot tub. So there's like a lot of like up and downs.
Mm-hmm. It's a roller coaster.
But it's a good, it's a good up and down. You know, I like to make fun of my friends at their expense. Like that's like my angle.
Yeah.
So like the
we did plenty of that this week.
I don't respect people who do stuff like that.
Yeah.
We all did plenty of that.
That's fine. But
having a laugh at someone else's expense is not cool.
Definitely not. But Emma posted the photo of Sully passed out in the hot tub. It was a video.
He took a nap. Oh. That's all right.
I did. Exactly. Absolutely. It was a late night the night before in the hot tub. So I got back in the hot tub and took a nap. Absolutely have some of the best friends in the world. They were concerned.
You look beautiful in that bikini. Not my girlfriend.
And she fed him. And as a thanks for that, she fed him chicken nuggets to make sure that he was still breathing in the hot tub. So
she brought me a big old plate with some barbecue sauce. It was
now
very nice
did
of her.
Emma VP. I know you don't jive. Shoot straight with me. Did Sully's infamous temper come out?
A little bit.
Did
I liked it though. It was good. It was good. It was
really?
You know.
Why?
Yeah. Like
what happened?
Just he was just upbeat. You know. He got excited.
Oh, but
yeah.
I mean, you know,
there was some anger that came out though.
Just like for a second.
For a second there. We don't need to get into it.
Why? What happened?
He wanted a shot of tequila, and we said no. You've had too much. And then he stormed downstairs and like slammed a door. And then 30 seconds later, comes up. He's like, "I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself there. Like you're right. I don't need a beer. I don't need more tequila."
That's exactly how it went too.
Yep. That's actually right, so very, that's 100% accurate.
Did Spaghetti's infamous temper show?
Oh boy, yes it did.
Oh really?
But and in defense, this is what brings us to the LVP.
But in defense of Sully and Emma's fiance Brett, who I'm a huge fan of, and I think they'd agree with me that what I did was necessary.
Yeah, it was necessary.
Oh. Do tell, Sully.
So it was later on in the evening. It was the three of us in the hot tub, and
Sully spent a lot of. Did you basically spend your resting hours in
that's
the
why
hot
I
tub
said
well?
Three quarters of the trip I was shirtless because
okay.
I was in the hot tub for
I got
the most
you
part.
Go on
anyway LVP and I think Spaghetti needs to truly announce it, but one of the parties part of the party came out, complained that we were being too loud singing Pearl Jam, and Eddie, one of us, really didn't like that.
How did that become an activity, singing Pearl Jam?
Just, no, you were, like, DJing. You just went through, like, classic rock songs. Yeah. Like, you know, Pink Floyd, Who, Pearl Jam. We just scrolled through everything.
This was late. We had already...
It was, like, 1 a.m. It wasn't that late.
The girls had gone to drink inside.
I see.
At this point.
So people were still awake. One person came out and said, you know, we're trying
somebody
to sleep.
Somebody in your party.
In the party, says, come on, turn. It said, turn the stuff down, like, it's too loud. And I was like, we rented this house. We have a hot tub. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You'd still be at a bar if we were back in Los Angeles. We're going to keep doing this. I said it just like that. Wasn't angry. Wasn't yelling. They went back inside.
Oh, okay.
5-10 minutes later.
Oh, here we go.
5-10 minutes later, that person came back out with their significant other and said it again. And they cursed at us, and they cursed at me in front of Brett and Sully, and I found that offensive, and I jetted out of the hot tub, and I screamed at all of them in their faces.
Like, square up out of the hot tub. Within, they dropped
floated.
One. Yeah, no, like, it was sprung out of the hot tub, and he was instantly going right back at him. It was pretty impressive.
That's exciting, but I'm trying to do the math. This can only mean that it was one of your friends then, Spaghetti.
Yeah, I was not happy with the college group.
Yep.
Not happy. They a bad weekend all around for them. A lot of hiccups on their part. I'm a big hiccup free guy.
Yeah.
A lot of hiccups from them. Not,
almost
not
90% thrilled. Of the hiccups were from the college group.
Yeah.
Now wait a second. The guy, one of those people though, you said is a perennial favorite to win the MVP on a road trip.
Brian. Yeah. He had a tummy issue on the second night.
Uh-oh.
And you know, it just wasn't smooth for really any of them. It was very bizarre for
all
us.
All right, go ahead. So you've given us the
LVP is just the entire group.
All your college friends.
I mean, obviously, there's four of them. Some contributed less than others, but yeah, I'd say as a group, it was pretty bad. The NFL group, A+.
Yeah, we killed it. NFL killed it.
We killed the game. We
really killed it.
Mm-hmm. What did we learn, everybody?
Don't invite Eddie's college friends to our parties.
And instead
invite the NFL crew.
There you go. Mm. See, I think. See, isn't that perfect?
It's karma.
We learned our lesson.
We came
Do you
full
see
circle here.
How it all went? What did Handsome and I try to teach you before you went?
That we should have invited you and Handsome.
Well, I mean, you want to talk? I think the MVP might have changed there. You know.
Yeah.
That,
potentially.
Yeah, definitely.
We can't. Handsome we can't Hank, the Englishman. Who on his resume
I'm not worried
was
about
once
him.
Bucked by a ram in an open field.
I'm not worried about him. I would be worried about you.
No. You don't know the score. You don't know the score. Handsome Hank finds adventure. That's why I pin my hopes on any road trip to Handsome Hank. That's why you'll always find me in his wake because adventure finds him. He's one of those charm people, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Handsome Hank could have been there. But, yes, next time we'll invite the whole gang. But this sounded like a fun trip.
It was
kinda.
A blast.
Very, very good.
No,
very good.
Actually, based on what you just described, it didn't sound like there was a lot of fun going on. But
No.
There was nothing but
we
fun.
We had a great time.
Yeah, we went to the lake. Me, Emma, and Brett took a 3-plus-mile hike through the woods full of bears.
Ugh.
We fought them off.
We went to the bar.
They went to the downtown area.
Like, the only thing worse than going out for a jog is going out for a hike.
I'm a big hiker.
No, we had a great time.
Yeah. Awesome
I think
time.
A hike's better than a jog.
At least the jog goes more quickly. If you're covering the same amount of soil, at least it's over more quickly.
This hike took a really long time.
Why do that? Hey, you know,
because you're out in nature. You're out in the Big Bear.
Go
see Big Bears.
Go walk up hills and stuff. Ugh.
Lots.
Exhausting.
Hey, Sheck, what do you think snoring means down south?
Oh, man.
Like a term for snoring.
Like what would you call?
My mind was one. I didn't know what that sentence or what that question meant.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean? What's it mean? I have no idea.
Because we didn't know either. So we're all in a room. The NFL crew, besides Eddie and Jada, they had a bedroom upstairs. But we were all down in the bunk beds. There were a bunch of bunk beds. We all bunked down there together. So we had like a big, you know, fun time. All
big slumber party.
This is getting worse by the second for me.
Yeah.
This is behavior I would enjoy until I was about 35-ish. And then after that, no more. I want my own room. It's not fun sleeping on somebody's floor. Oh, wait.
We all had our own individual beds.
Nine other people are using the same shower as me. I mean, all that stuff. I don't know how I did it.
We got to know each other.
But Sully wakes up in the morning and we're all like, kind of coming to and kind of recapping. And Sully goes, oh, man, nothing like 3:30 in the morning to rip some logs. And we're all sharing, like, a bathroom. So we were like, what are you talking about? But apparently that means snoring.
No, sawing logs. I'd said rip logs. So it definitely sounds like you're doing something different than snoring. But sawing logs is a term for snoring.
Never heard it. Never heard it. And it very – I think that might have been what Ansley really kind of took off.
Yeah.
From that point.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's Sully shirtless laying on a bottom bunk. Oh,
I'm sawing logs. Hey, you look good in that bikini over there.
Exactly.
Yep. Nailed it. That's your MVP of the weekend.
Congratulations to Sully. Congratulations to all of you. Congratulations to everyone who listened to. We thank the Mixtape Boys, Coley and Tyler. Ooh, this is going to be good. I already know it. Cam Jordan joining us, a nominee last year for our favorite football playing guest in the Shecky Awards. He's joining us later in the week, and we'll see what other fun we have for you, along with April Absurdity. Look for that on Wednesday. High noon, we will reveal the 64, the bracket for you. Make sure you vote on that. Thanks to all the Big Bear gang and to Kent Brown as well. Mazel tov to Sully.
Rips logs, everybody.
Better luck next time, LVPs. Good luck finding new friends. Spaghetti seems to have moved on. In a thin slice of heaven.